Thanks, Dan. Before I start, Anna had a testimony. Do you want to give the testimony? Since we're all talking about testimonies lately, I think we got a good one here to give. And the Lord kind of put that on Anna's heart to give. So, further ado.
Yeah. This has been kind of a few weeks. My name's Anna. We just got married. This has been a testimony a few weeks in coming because I've been job hunting since I came to Springfield. This actually was my second time that I literally dropped what I was doing and left to go somewhere else and look for a new job. About a year and a half ago, God told me to leave Japan and come back to America. And I had been gone for 5.5 years, and I was terrified of job hunting in the States because I had never held an adult job in the States. And I didn't have a degree to do what I wanted to do in America, so I didn't really have options. So at that time, when I came back, I just kind of went on the word of faith because God gave me no peace in staying in Japan. And kind of this morning, in the back of my mind, is a lot of what Sharon said, talking about God's timing and remembering God's timing. And within the last few weeks, there's been words that people have been giving, talking about don't forget, God sees you and what you're doing. And just even last week, almost everything Scott was saying about sharing your testimony and trusting God's timing was really hitting hard on me, because the first week or two that I came back here, I had like 3 interviews, and one of them eventually after some time led to a job offer that I had no peace about accepting, and the other two, even though the interviews seemed really well, no one ever called me back, and I was starting to get really discouraged. It's like, okay, God, I quit another good job to come down here, and praise the Lord, I love my husband, but it's also really hard. trying to trust you. And last week, I really felt God tell me in many ways, remember what I've done for you. And even last year, literally around this time last year, I was job hunting again, and it had been about 4 months. I found a job that I quit, and I was like, all right, God, all the money that I saved when I came back from Japan is about to be gone. I have absolutely almost no money. This guy that I met at a music festival wants me to come down and see him. And I'm like, I don't really have money to do that or anything, but I felt like I needed to go. So I had told him I'd go, and literally an hour later, somewhere that I had an interview with 3 weeks before called me for a follow-up, started the phone call saying, hey, we want to have another interview with you. At the end of the phone call, I had the job, and the job was going to be starting right after I just told him I'd see him. I'm like, okay. So last week, God's like, remember, I did that for you last year. And hey, remember when you were in Japan and you had $10 to your name and you were living alone in a country and you didn't know anybody? Someone brought you food. Or remember when you were in college and you worked 4 jobs but there was no possible way that you could pay for your schooling and go to Japan 3 times and do all this other stuff? Remember that? And God started hitting me all of these times, like, remember that. And right as I had stopped looking for a job, as I rejected a job offer, I had gotten a call from a temp agency. And in my mind, I was just kind of so defeated. I'm like, all right, whatever. I didn't think much about it, but I had gotten to the place of doing interviews last week. And so last Sunday, in my mind, I'm thinking, maybe this is coming through. Maybe this is the door that God's opening for me. I'm like, okay. And then the next day, I got a call, and they said, I'm sorry, we're going to go in a different direction. And it hit me. And I haven't experienced that level of depression in a long time. I was like debilitated for like the rest of the day. And then God just kind of came to me, and he's like, what were you hoping in? Where was your hope? And I was listening, like, I just held on to a few things. There's a scripture God gave me about a year and a half ago as he was asking me to leave Japan, which I'll be really honest, was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. And it's Isaiah 43:18-19 is, behold, I do a new thing. I'm going to make rivers in the wilderness. Anyway, I remembered that, and I started listening to a sermon was talking about where is your hope located. And God gave me this image of, you know, God gives doors. Like the doors that God closes, no one can open. The doors that God opens, no one can close. So he gave me this image, and he's just like, here's the door. And I was running full head steam to this door. I started getting to a place of desperation. I was just running to the door. And when the door closed, I mean, I'm tall. I've hit my head on a ton of stuff, and it fell back. Yes, where your brain like freezes, like goes around in your head because you hit your head so hard, your brain is literally moving in your skull. And I did that on the door and fell back, and that's why the depression came so hard on Monday. Well, just between prayer, a other people and things, I started just laying it before God. I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever you want, you provided for me before. I started recounting everything that he did. I'm like, all right, God, I trust you. Trying to think of, I'm that person, I don't like stillness. I started looking for other options. I'm like, all right, God, whatever you want. The next morning, I got a call back from that agency. I'm like, they really liked you, and they now there's a space for you. You have this job. And I started on Friday, and God's like, you need to remember, I'm where your hope is. I'll open the doors, I'll close the doors, but I make the way.
Talking about God's timing, I just want to say the fall feasts are getting ready to start, and next Sunday is the Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Jewish year 5777. So this is like very, very prophetic. And we're going to be celebrating a few of them in small groups in our home. So if anybody's interested in coming next Sunday evening, we have a lady coming to do music for us. And then we're also going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles on the 22nd of October. So if you'd like to join us for any of those, just give Dave and I a call, and we'd love to have you.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to pray real quick. Father, thank you for who you are, that you speak, and that your words are life. God, speak your words of life today to us. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Scott asked me to speak a little bit ago, so here I am speaking. And I feel like the Lord was telling me this week, you know, a lot of things I've been hearing about, listen to God. Listen to what he's saying. He's doing new things. It's a season of transition. You know, I keep getting that. And the Lord was telling me, I was at work, and I was just kind of doing my thing. And the Lord's like, if you're not hungry, other people are going to starve. And I was like, whoa, man, what's that mean? But the power and the weight of God's words shake stuff up inside. And that's where life and change comes from and growth comes from, is the word of God. And it comes from the Bible too, but it's that audible voice that goes into our spirits and breathes life again into us. And it wasn't the condemning word, like, hey, you're awful at what you're doing, or what's the matter with you? It's not that. It was just, listen, because other people need to hear what God is telling you. And that goes for all of us, and especially for this generation that's coming up. Because a lot of my heart, you know, is for millennials. And if we notice the trends coming up, a lot of millennials are leaving the church in droves. And a lot of the church is like, what do we do? You know, this is an epidemic. What do we do? And we need to listen to God's voice is what we need to do, you know, because like when we give that away and we're speaking the words of life into this generation, that draws them back to the Father, because a lot of us are orphaned. And I worked with subcultures for about 10 years. So people, if you guys didn't know that, it was all orphans, people who were very rebellious and very angry, and they didn't really want to be anywhere near the church. And so God kind of sent us out to where they were, and they came. It wasn't always pretty, you know, it wasn't always fun. But God was there, and he was breathing life in these people, and a lot of it came by listening to what he was saying and trying to give that away. And I was going to preach about something else, but the Lord kind of told me to preach out of 1 Samuel 3. So let's turn to 1 Samuel 3. And actually, I'm going to go back to 2 Samuel 2, verse 22. So I'll wait for everybody to get there. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Yeah, there's two Samuels, so we gotta get it right. Okay, I'm gonna start reading here. This kind of gives us background. Now Eli was very old, and Eli was the high priest at the time, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all these people. Know, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. So there was a shortage of righteousness among the priests at the time. Like, the priests weren't really following the Lord. Eli was letting his kids do whatever they wanted, and it wasn't good. There was corruption in the priesthood. And there was a sense that God must be somewhere else. Who cares? It was like a form of, it was formalism. You know, formalism is what we do, to kind of going through the motions, kind of doing the thing and not really caring at all about God. God's just out there somewhere, whatever, you know. And that was the attitude of the sons of Eli. they had that attitude of not listening and searching for the voice of the Lord, or even wanting to be around the Lord. And they didn't care. They began to become negligent, and that turned into just taking advantage of the position and doing evil. And God was raising up a priest in Samuel. That was Samuel's role. And we go to Samuel, chapter 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." And the Hebrew actually talks about that word rare being precious. It was precious because it was so, there was such a lack of it. People craved that, but they weren't hearing that because nobody was listening to what God was saying. Nobody was seeking the Lord at all. So there was a famine of hearing God's voice in the land at the time. And Samuel didn't know God's voice yet. But if we're going to read a little bit here, and he begins to hear that voice. At the time, I'm going to end verse 2. "At the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said to him, 'Here I am.' And Samuel ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." And that's the key to understanding this. If you notice, Eli, he was physically blind. He could not see. He was not hearing God at all. The word of God was precious. It was rare in those days. So it's kind of funny. Sometimes God will use actual events in the Bible to illustrate deeper prophetic truths. Like Eli was literally spiritually and physically blind. He wasn't listening to God. He was literally deaf and blind. And Samuel began to hear. And Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God because the voice of the Lord was so precious and rare, and no one knew what it was yet. It wasn't revealed to him yet. So God began to stir in Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a new thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" So Samuel went through a process of hearing God's voice, even in that little bit of time. And it said at the end, when Eli gave him the discernment that it was really God who's talking to you, it said literally the Lord stood and came next to Samuel and talked to him. And there was that revelation of God's heart and who God was in that moment that changed him forever. And it was like, okay, this is the voice of God. It's like the radio got turned to the right dial. Like, whoop, you know, and that's kind of how it works with us. In a lack of hearing God, and especially so much a thing against the church, but in our land, in this country, there is a lack of hearing the Lord. The Lord's voice is rare. It is precious. And we're the ones who have to hear, because others are going to starve if we don't hear what God's saying. And that's our job as priests. We're the New Testament priests. Every one of us is in the priesthood of God. And we're all accountable to hear God's voice. Because there's Samuel's, God's raising up, they need to hear him and know how to know him. Because he is the word of God. Jesus is literally called the word. That means he's literally speaking. He's speaking into us and speaking things. And he comes and he describes what he's about to do. And then he does it. And if we can read it later, if you guys want to read it on your own, he says, well, basically, Eli's out, you're in. I'm going to change this right now. You know, this lack of being true-hearted to me and really loving me is going to change. And this other guy, I've been raising you up, you're coming in. So you're out, you're in. That's what the word of God was saying. And if we go down to verse 19, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So, and later on we read that Eli died. You know, he was hanging out in his chair and literally fell over and cracked his neck, and that was it. Eli was done. And if you notice, it said it was heavy set, because Eli was so, they were so big and kind of eating so much of the food of the tabernacle that they were supposed to eat, they began to get huge, and because they were engorging themselves on that food. So they were doing what was wrong and growing in that until that finally killed them, because that's what tipped them over and broke his neck, you know. So it's like there's all these things in the text. But Samuel was raised up to be someone who heard God and began to judge Israel and lead them towards what God was doing, which is transition to King David. So in that, God was just speaking to me like, you know, I'm raising up a generation to hear my voice. And the religious kind of nonsense that's been going on sometimes is on the way out. Like, we have to hear God's voice because this generation is starving to hear God. And the only way they're going to change is if they hear his voice, and that's through us. He speaks through us. And he shows up in dramatic things like dreams and visions and whatnot. That's cool. But he's put his voice in all of us. And that's responsibility of all of us as priests. Let's not be like Eli and not listen and just go through the motions. Let's hear. Because there's words of life in us. It's not to condemn us, because I'm bad at this. I need to hear God's voice. But that's the encouragement, that all of us have that task and that role in the Lord, is to stand as priests, to intercede for the people and not give up. Because we have to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the fathers to the children. And a lot of you guys are fathers and mothers. And so fathers and mothers beget sons and daughters. Let's turn our hearts to the kids and see what happens, you know, so to speak. And you can be an orphan and be 85, you know. It's not like you got to be a kid. But that's an encouragement. And I feel like the Lord's challenging me to pursue that more. Like, am I going to listen to what he's saying in that moment presently? Because whenever I'm interacting with anybody, God has something to say to that person if I listen. If I kind of sink down and hear what he's saying. And a lot of the times, you know, if we're inwardly adoring the Lord and our heart is oriented towards Christ, we can hear what Christ is saying. It doesn't have to be a mystery, you know. And it comes gently and it comes softly. But it's that place of quietly beholding Christ that we hear Christ. Like if I'm Dan's Jesus, but I mean, he'd be a lot closer to me. Inwardly in my heart, if I'm looking at Dan, I can see what Dan's going to say. I can see his expressions. I'm locked in, and I know it's Dan. You know, I know what he's going to say. When I'm looking this way or looking that way inwardly, I can't see Dan. But when I orient my heart to Christ, I can hear Christ. And in that moment, we can too. I feel like there is a new level of power God wants to release when we begin to listen and breathe out the word of Christ into this generation. Because that's our role as priests. And there's a shift happening in the church, and I really think it's coming soon, where we're going to step into more of our priesthood as believers. That we can change the world, and it's changed by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's talking about the Bible too, but the words of God in the Bible that breathe out and speak out into people and change their lives. Because remember, even the Hebrew term for breath, ruach, it means breath. I mean, it's the same word for spirit, but it's about breathing. God is a breathing spirit who breathes life, breathes seed into people, and that grows, and they become who he wants them to become. That's how the pattern always works through Scripture. I'm going to turn to John 1. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I know we're kind of running late today. But God was doing stuff even in that. It was all about the holiness of the Lord this morning. It was really rad. He was there. So I'm going to turn to John 1, and we're going to give a little background about Jesus being the Word, about him being the one who speaks and does the actions of God into this physical world. And he's the one, Paul actually talks about that it was the Son who spoke the creation into being, and he formed the world by his words. So there's power in the Word of God that transcends the minds of people. So sometimes they're like, well, how can this guy become a Christian? How can this guy find the Lord? Well, the Lord will bypass our minds and our biases, and he'll deal directly to our hearts. But it comes through the word. It comes from speaking through us or through others. So we don't have to be intimidated by Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins can know the Lord if he listens to what God's saying. But that word has to take seed and take root and grow. You know? But I think that guy's an idiot. Anyway, all right, 1 John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So it's prefacing the Gospel of John with this notion that Jesus is more than just a man. He was the embodiment of God speaking into creation. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And it's a different concept. We don't have to think of God in outer space. He's not out there disinterested in us. He's very, very present in Emmanuel. God is with us. And he wants to speak into our lives. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And John's role is our role as ambassadors for Christ. We're the ones who testify to what we've seen and what we know, what we've heard, and we speak that back out again into the world. There's power in the breath and the wind of God through us. That's the idea I want to try to get through our heads. Like in Hebrew thought and biblical thought, things were less, they were a little more abstract. Like words could have dual meanings. Some words can mean king, it can mean ruler. There's even the word for word can mean a way or a thing. It's like that. It's weird, but a lot of it has to do with word pictures. So what is the picture in our minds when we imagine Jesus being the embodiment of the breath of God amongst us? What does that do to us? What does that breathe into us and speak into us? Because that's what he wants to do. Like when the Lord kind of speaks to me, sometimes I see things, you know, I see a word picture. Anna was talking about word pictures, about running into walls and things. The Lord was really, you know, it was this week, I was meditating kind of on the seeds and the word being the seed and what's that mean and trying to get into that and crack that open. And I saw the Lord just in my heart just kind of, hey, the bag of seeds and was throwing them everywhere and this field was covered with seeds. It was like heaps of seeds. But the ground wasn't letting the seeds in. And that's our hearts. We have to let the seed and the word come into our hearts. And that's where growth comes from. And it's okay if we're bad at it. I'm bad at it too. But just let that come in. So it's more of a passive kind of thing when God is talking to us. Okay, verse 9. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, received the word, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the heart and mystery of the Christian faith, as God became a man and came among us. The living one who breathes everything into being, who formed everything, who loves us with a consuming love, came and walked among us. And that's the power to do what we can do now. So, like I said, it's going to be short and sweet. I'm about to close in a second here, but it's an encouragement to all of us to listen to what God is saying. So a good way to do that is to quiet yourself, is to make time and discipline ourselves to spend with the Lord and put our hearts before him. It's not always easy because we're busy. But if we make time and make space, he'll fill that space. And I've over the years, I'm a little more disciplined than what I was. You know, I'm still, I can tell me how much of a goofball I am. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes we have to prioritize our lives, and we put the Lord first. We make some space, and he will show up, and he will speak, and that's what kind of forms us and leads us and changes us and causes us to grow. It comes through that. It doesn't come by striving for change. Focus on God and his goodness, and then we will change. Like his presence changes us. Instead of condemning ourselves for not measuring up. You know, if you notice in Colossians 3, Paul's like, set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on things above. Don't set your mind on how bad you are or how much you're messing up. Set your mind on Christ. And all those things will change. And they will. So don't worry if you think you're bad at being a Christian. We're all bad at being Christians, you know. Let's just let him make us sons and daughters, because we are. Let's come into the fullness of who he's causing us to be, you know. That's all I got. I'm just going to pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst, that you are speaking who you are into our midst. Help us, Lord, to hear and listen to what you're doing. We thank you, God, for every life here. Bless every life here today. Let us grow in your presence. Let us become one with you more and more, Father. Thank you for your voice, which gives life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just, that was good, Dave. Thank you very much. Just one thing, if you noticed in Samuel's life, when he was struggling to figure out who was talking to him, he went to somebody older that knew the voice of God. And you're welcome to do that. I mean, you know, if you don't understand what God sounds like, there's people older that have, you know, to somewhat, not totally, figured this out, that will actually help you to discern. You know how I did it? I failed a lot. I thought, well, that's got to be God. I went after it. It wasn't God. Then I knew what I heard wasn't God. there's a learning to discern your own spirit, the difference between your spirit, God's spirit, your own mind, and the enemy's voice. Those are the four things that you have to learn to discern before you can actually know for sure that what you're hearing is God, and then move in faith. How many times, anybody besides me ever miss it? Oh, never missed it, Sharon? Not once? You were wrong once, but it was just because you thought you were wrong when you really weren't, right? Okay. But, you know, I actually teach classes on this, on practicing, learning what it means to practice the present, which means actually learning to hear what God is saying. And, you know, they used to have a school of the prophets, right, Joel? There's a school of the prophets that the word talks about that actually help, that, you know, they used to have to help people hear and discern the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord as well. So, Lord, we just ask, God, that you'd continue to work in our lives, conform us into your image so that we can be effectual in this city, so that we're not just half-hearted, but totally effectual in winning this city for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you all. Have a good day.